Midlands today on Midlands 103 with Tullamore Motors. The all new Renault Megane. Feel the drive. TullamoreMotors.ie. When people in the Midlands want to talk, they talk to Will Faulkner.
Good morning. How are you doing? Did you sleep a bit better last night? It wasn't as stifling as earlier in the week. Look at Brad Pitt. He's pictured in the papers this morning wearing a skirt. Is that to keep cool, Brad? Apparently a lot of actors now at movie premieres are wearing skirts. Part of a trend in Hollywood. And if you're Brad Pitt, you can just about pull it off. And women certainly wouldn't deny Brad Pitt. If you or I did, it might be slightly different. So, I think it's a thumbs down here, but he's on the newspapers this morning with a brown dress at a film premiere in Berlin. Make up your mind whether it's a good look or not. What have we got for you today? The typical worker overpays tax by €1,000 per year. How do you claim it back? And how do you work out where you went wrong to begin with? Do you need an expensive accountant? And a Mullingar man sets out to do what the Red Cross couldn't. Link people from Ukraine with Irish families in a timely fashion. And he says he's able to do just that with help from a team of volunteers. You'll meet him after 10. When you call, 0818 300 103 is my number. You can text or WhatsApp 083 30 10 103, powered by Lamb Brothers Toyota in Tullamore. And you get me on Facebook, Instagram, lots of ways to get involved today. Happy birthday, by the way, to Louise Brown. Do you know who Louise Brown is? She is the world's first ever IVF baby. And she is 44 today. And she continues to be a celebrity in an unusual way. Her son is 15. He's in school. He's studying biology. And of course, the teacher makes a big deal out of having a celebrity, saying, would you get your mum to come in and talk to the class? And she's not very tempted by that offer, shall we say. She feels like she's still a fish in a bowl at 44 years of age. And they've even preserved the Petri dish on which she was conceived. And you can view it in London in a museum. Yes, an unusual life. She says people assumed she had special powers just because she was born by IVF. Anyway, what are the main stories on the front pages today? The Irish Times tells you how the government is being warned to prepare urgently for the impact of climate change. So negotiations continue between the Green Party and everybody else in government, in effect. The Environment Minister, Eamon Ryan, and the Agriculture Minister, Charlie McConnellogue, they will be having the most intense conversations as farmers say the limit for them will be a 22% reduction in emissions over the next few years. They cannot go further than that. But an advisory body has told the government more needs to be done. The pressure is growing, not abating. The main story on the Irish Daily Star, Kinahan's big gaffe. It shows you a picture of a house to be seized by the Criminal Assets Bureau belonging to various members of the Kinahan cartel. And legal papers have now been sent to Daniel Kinahan to repossess this home. It is a stunning, stunning house. And then the final paper to hand, the Irish Independent. 500,000 workers have overpaid the taxman. €660, some estimates say. Others put it at €1,800. Taxback.com claims that's what they typically get. They're trained accountants. They obviously want their pound of flesh if they do the service. But the bottom line is many workers are not making the most of their exemptions and their entitlements. And you don't have to go to a really, really expensive accountant, you can go on to the revenue website. It has a My Account section. If you are anyway internet savvy at all, you can set up your account. But the trick is to know where you may have overpaid. And, well, we'll get a little advice on that later. What is inside the papers today? Navan Hospital and the proposed closure of the emergency department in favour of a 12-hour injury clinic. The Irish Independent reveals how the Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly, had a number of meetings with government politicians about this plan, but he cancelled all of his meetings with opposition TDs. And naturally, he's being asked to explain why. Why shouldn't every elected representative benefit from a briefing? And is there something he has to hide? The director of the hospital, the clinical director, Jerry McEntee, claims he was gagged by the health minister from talking about the issue for 7 months. And the clinical director is one of a number of doctors who have concerns about safety at the unit. And there are others who disagree with their position, for the record, and feel, much as in the case of Portlaoise, that closing one emergency department would put unbearable pressure on others. Anyway, the political controversies continue. This is really, really disgusting. You don't have to be involved in a Tidy Towns committee or do litter picks to find this offensive. Open up the Sun newspaper today and you will see a picture of the beach in Sutton in Dublin after Monday's 33 degree heat. And you will see how council workers took 6 hours to remove 10 tonnes of litter. Just process that for a moment. A team of council workers spent 6 hours removing 10 tonnes of litter that was left behind. Sometimes you just have to despair for the future of the species. We're just going to destroy our planet and ourselves in the process, and some people have no regard for it at all. How do you lie on a beach and leave behind bottles and crisp packets and all that sort of stuff for somebody else to clean up? As if it's not your responsibility. You wouldn't do it at home, but somehow people feel it's grand to do it on the beach. Now, various newspapers introduce you to Liz Truss today. She is now the front runner to replace Boris Johnson. Hang on, wasn't it another lady the other day? Yes, it was. Well, actually, the bookies keep changing their mind. First, it was Rishi Sunak, who is still very much in the contest. He's the former Chancellor of the Exchequer, and more than likely he'll be one of the two faces that go before members of the Conservative Party for a vote, and the membership will ultimately decide the next leader. But the second place, and it'll only be a two-horse race, the second place will be between Liz Truss, the Foreign Secretary, and Penny Mordaunt. And Penny Mordaunt, until now, had very much been the likely candidate, and it seems the right wing of the party is galvanising behind Liz Truss. Even the likes of David Rees-Mogg and the ERG, this very Eurosceptical wing, they are looking at her as the next Iron Lady. So it'll be possibly Liz Truss versus Rishi Sunak, and we will know later today, well, one of two will be the next Prime Minister. But according to all of the polling, Rishi Sunak does not have the support of the party membership. So whoever emerges to face him will likely be the next Prime Minister. Anyway, that's what the papers are saying. They've had it wrong. They've had it wrong three times now. They told us at first Rishi Sunak was a shoo-in. He's not. Then Penny Mordaunt. And so on. Did you notice any dust on your car in the last 48 hours? We've had a plume of hot air, as you know, which peaked on Monday, and much of this came from Africa, from the Sahara, and carried sand all that distance. So might be an idea to wash the car at some point. Now, then again, can you do that? Because we talked to Irish Water yesterday and they're saying conserve, conserve, conserve. It gets confusing, doesn't it? Netflix has announced a drop in subscribers for the second quarter in a row. Lost 1 million customers from March to June. Which, to be honest, given the cost of living, isn't surprising, isn't it? Can you afford to pay Netflix blindly? What is it, €14 a month? And if you're on one of the premium packs for 4K, it's £20, £22, something like that? That's the low-hanging fruit. It's easy to just ditch it when you need to save a few quid. So they're saying they'll be back with more offerings in the next quarter to tempt subscribers back into the ranks. And next year, they'll have this model where you pay less, but you watch ads. I think we're well used to watching ads, so that could work. I'll give you two more stories very quickly. A little bit of good news. The ongoing COVID surge appears to have peaked, so says Leo Varadkar, because we've had a fall in the positivity rate, in other words, the number of people going for a test who subsequently proved to have COVID, and it's down 10% in a week. So we're over the crest of the wave, hopefully. And the last one, and I want to particularly ask you if you're in Birr, Eden Derry or Rathdowney, whether this is a genuine inconvenience or a storm in a teacup. But many of the papers have reported on AIB's decision to scrap ATMs in 70 branches nationwide. And the towns affected locally include, as I mentioned, Birr, Eden Derry, Rathdowney. Are there other ATMs that you can go to so it doesn't make a blind bit of difference? Or are you sitting there thinking, heavens above, AIB pulling out the ATM, where am I going to get cash? Are you going to be left in the lurch? Because you've really got two camps. You've got those who have migrated to a cashless society. They do their business online and it's seamless. And then you've got others, unfortunately, older people and probably in the minority, who still prefer to deal in the cash, and the way of accessing it is becoming more and more challenging. 0818 300 103 is my number if you are affected by this. Billy Morris, you are a brave man. He says, Will, regarding the Sutton Beach story, I find it very hard to believe. It took council workers 6 hours to remove 10 tons of rubbish. I don't believe council workers would be on the job for 6 hours, he says. I don't know where he lives. I don't have his address. And if I did, I wouldn't give it to you because you'd probably kill him if you're a council worker. Now, Mark in Offaly has sent an email concerning AIB and he is outraged to hear of the announcement that they are going cashless in so many branches. And once again, it's a case of big business saying, feck the people who are computer illiterate. He says, in 2022... when one would think we have grown out of discrimination and exclusion, here is a big bank giving the two fingers to people who cannot interact with digital systems. It doesn't affect the branch in Tullamore as far as I can see online, but nonetheless, he says, it is disgraceful, the lack of consideration for vulnerable people. This is just another control measure that is going to be very profitable for the bank if they get away with it, as every time we use the card, we get charged. So the bank's management can claim even more money so they can change their Beamer, their Merc, their Audi into an electric one. So he says, to explain the first part of this paragraph, it's in reference to most companies only paying us through the banks. Satellite subscriptions, other bills, they have to be direct debit. This will continue to grow until we fight back as a community. And next time the banks need to be bailed out, we should leave them up shit creek without a paddle. I would like to finish by asking how long more as a society are we going to tolerate such actions? That's from Mark in Offaly. Are you with Mark? Or do you think it's a storm in a teacup? 083 3010 103, text or WhatsApp, or studio@midlands103.com. Still to come, a Mullingar man says he could do what the Red Cross couldn't and bring people from Ukraine to Ireland to host families in a timely fashion. Well, you'll meet him after 10 to hear how he does it. First, though, the typical worker overpays tax by, well, some would say €600 a year. Taxback.com claims they can get refunds of €1,800 per year. And there are nearly 500,000 workers concerned. So let's find out where we're going wrong. Charlie Weston is personal finance editor with the Irish Independent. Morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Will.
It's a lot of money. You'd imagine people would notice, and it's not the first time we've been warned.
No, but I think the figures are truly staggering. I mean, this is a dull reply to a question put in by Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty. So he asked, going back for the last 3 years, how many people had overpaid tax and how much tax have they overpaid? And the figures that came back are just mind-blowing. Hundreds of thousands of people are overpaying on their PAYE income every year. But last year, as you said there, close to 500,000 people overpaid tax, and the cumulative overpayment amounted to about 300 million. And if you divide up that, you get a rough estimate of about 660 each, maybe. Now, that's very rough, because some of those people won't have overpaid that much. Others will have overpaid by more, you know. And then if you go back to the previous year, 2020, 270,000 people overpaid €150 million worth of tax. 2019, before we had the pandemic, 300,000 people, and the overpayment there amounted to about €170 million. So basically, there's millions of euro by thousands and thousands of people being overpaid to revenue every year.
And it's worth noting, there's a look back. You can review the previous four tax years. So even if you forgot in 2019, for instance, to claim a particular benefit, you can still do it.
Exactly. Like, I mean, if you could keep all your receipts for your pharmacy and your GP, you can claim 20% of those. And, you know, if you have those going back a couple of years and have never claimed them, you could get 20% of that back. I mean, that could be a chunk of money. It's going to help with the rising bills, the mortgage bills, the diesel and petrol and the energy, the lighting and heating bills. So, you know, really people need to check what's going on here. Now, revenues are saying, look, they're steadily over, you know, paying out big chunks of refunds every year, and that they've written to 50,000 people at the moment saying to them, look, you may have overpaid tax, and some of those may have underpaid tax, but there does seem to be significant amounts of money there that is available to ordinary PAYE workers who could be getting back something. You know, they may not be claiming everything they're entitled to. They may not be getting all the reliefs and credits they're entitled to. For example, if you care for a child or an incapacitated person in the home and you don't work, or even if you work part-time, there's a thing called a home carer's credit you're entitled to, and that's fairly decent.
Yeah, and that's edged up in the last few years. What is it now? Is it £1,600 thereabouts?
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, and a credit is essentially an amount of money that you don't have to pay in tax. You know, before you pay any tax, you get this taken off, you know. So, you know, it definitely worth claiming. Only
so that's the situation where, let's say, just one parent is working and the other is staying home. And it's not, there isn't a means test on this. This is something that anybody can put in.
Anybody can claim it. Now, you know, and if you're working, you know, you get a proportion of it. Sorry, if you're working part-time, it's if your income is under €7,200, basically, you get this credit. It's well worth claiming. You're right, €1,600, you know.
There are flat rate expenses for some professions.
Yeah, there's flat rate expenses, you know, money you get, your relief you get for having to buy or, you know, provide uniforms, that kind of thing. Different professions have different ones. I couldn't tell you what they are because there's a whole long, long, long list of them on the revenues website.
A journalist can claim, Charlie. I hope you've got yours in.
Oh, don't worry. Yeah, there's one for, you know, nurses, teachers. Everybody gets, you know, you're allowed to allow for certain expenses that you would have through your job. You know, there's if you got married, you may be overpaying tax because, you know, the you may have been taxed as individuals, you can claim back some of that. If you're working in a summer job, young people may be on emergency tax because the employer don't have the full details about you. You know, and if you're working from home, there's e-worker tax relief. You know, you're entitled to 10% off the lighting and heating and 30% off the broadband bill. Now, you know, you'll need a letter from your employer. But so look, at you know, people just need to make a tax return is what Revenue are saying. Now, I know a lot of people just don't want to engage with Revenue. They just don't like the idea of having anything to do with the taxpayer people. But it's your money. You know, why leave it there? Why leave it behind you? You're entitled to have it. You know, check your My Account. There may be an end of year preliminary statement on that from Revenue saying, indicating to you that there may be, you know, maybe an overpayment. Mm. So it's worth getting on, you know, going on to online to myaccount.ie, the Revenue's kind of PAY facility for people.
It's very easy to set up and it's secure and you're given your PIN and so on and so forth. And the user experience on the website, would you say that most people could navigate around it without having to be an accountant?
Yeah, it's relatively straightforward. You know, some people are intimidated by these things, but it is pretty straightforward. Now, I know my daughter had some trouble with it, but I mean, you know, most people find it fine. There's help as well. Now, the Revenue's telephone help only operates till 1 o'clock at the moment. That's a kind of legacy of COVID. So if you need to speak to somebody, do it in the morning. But they are extremely helpful people when you ring them up and they'll sort out any difficulties you have. So, you know, and they want you to have the money you're entitled to. You're entitled to this money. As I say, the figures are staggering. In total, for those 3 years that I mentioned, 620 million in overpaid tax. 620 million euros. Just think what that would do going into households over winter to pay the bills, the energy bills. So, you know, I think people it's worth your while getting over any kind of reluctance you have to engage with the tax authority and just, you know, just double check if you aren't owed money back, because you may well be. So look, good news for once, Will. I'm always accused of going on radio and having bad news about price rises. Here's good news.
Yes, indeed. One last question, Charlie, because we've been talking about AIB, for instance, and their removal of ATMs from a number of branches. If you're not internet savvy, can you still claim your tax back from Revenue the old-fashioned way?
They will accommodate you, yeah. I mean, ring them on the phone, and as I say, do it before 1 o'clock, and they'll talk you through. They'll send you out a form. If it's medical expenses, there's a Med1 form. They'll post it out to you. You can fill it out that way. You don't have to be internet savvy. It's easier. They want you to go that way, of course, but they can't insist that you do that. So, you know, they will help you. As I say, they're actually decent people to deal with. They have a very good way with people. Of all the services that I engage with, I think personally I find Revenue the most decent people to engage with.
Charlie Weston, Personal Finance Editor with the Irish Independent. Thank you.
You're welcome, Will.
That's the main story on the paper this morning. 500,000 workers have overpaid the taxman by €660. Are you one of them? It is 20 to 10.
It's time to look your best in suits, casual, formal and footwear for men and boys at Guy Clothing High Street, Tullamore, the leading clothing destination for every man. Follow Guy Clothing Tullamore on social media. Midlands 103.
Robert asks, where do you get the information, Will, that one half are able to move forward seamlessly into a cashless society and the other half don't? Is it from the banks the information comes? Well, I'll quote one study, and it's a great question, Robert. In the UK, they had an independent study, so the banks were not involved. The banks were interviewed, but retailers as well and other places that you carry out business. And they found in 2021 that only 1 in 6 payments were cash. 1 in 6. And much of that change had been accelerated by COVID, and we were encouraged not to exchange cash, dirty notes, dirty coins that may contain the virus and so on. And people got out of the habit, even those who were reluctant to move over to tapping the card. So 1 in 6 transactions in the UK are cash, and it's probably similar enough here. Will, no more baskets at mass. We'll just swipe our card from now on, says Joe. And another caller from the Burr area says, with the ATM in AIB gone, the next nearest will be Rosscrea or Tullamore. people might not be comfortable banking in the post office for security reasons. The taxpayers bailed out the banks, and this is how they treat the public. And they are allowed to get away with it, which is most galling, says Bernie. Will people should cancel any non-essential direct debits and see how the various companies and banks feel then? Will can people bring banks to court for discrimination if they insist on card only, asks Mary. There are grounds for discrimination. Ageism, gender, your sexual preferences, whether you're a member of an ethnic minority, whether you're disabled. But I don't know if you would be able to argue that being unable to use technology qualifies as one of those. By all means, take a test case, it'll be expensive. And that's the problem. The banks have the clout, and unless it's you and a small army, you don't. If we don't stand together on this, then that's what will ultimately be the outcome. And we've seen it before. Ulster Bank has pulled out of the country entirely, well, it's in the process of, and they've closed branches. Bank of Ireland has closed branches. AIB has closed. You see the pattern, and it continues. And there's a period where we give out and politicians jump up and down, and ultimately nothing happens. And is that because they have made the right choice and they've actually followed what people want, the majority, which is cashless, convenient transactions? Or are we missing the point here? Is there, as Mark Inoffley suggests, just this slow marginalisation of people where if you're not internet savvy, if you're not of a certain age where you're comfortable with tapping the card, you're just left behind. You don't matter. You're irrelevant. 083 30 10 103. Get involved. Please do get involved this morning and join the conversation. Who is the busiest person you know? Because they're probably not as busy as the organisers of the Flack Yole, which is happening in just 11 days, the 31st of July. It gets underway in the homecoming to Mullingar. And the committee chairman, the Cathaoirleach of the Flack Yole, Joe Kinnear, is with us. Joe, good morning.
Morning, Will. How are you now?
I'm very well, very well. I was in Mullingar yesterday, actually. I even saw car parks being made out. I was near the blue car park at one stage. So how are plans coming together?
Ah, yeah, look, it's all hands on deck now, and it has been for the last number of years, but it's finally coming to fruition in the next couple of days. And, you know, in fairness, everyone is putting their shoulder to the wheel to just get the nitty-gritty and the whole, you know, finality to the event put to bed at this stage. So look, we're extremely busy, and it's from one thing to the next to make sure that we have all aspects covered when the flag comes in a couple of days' time.
Now, for people intending to travel to Mullingar, presumably most will have made their arrangements for accommodation and so on. What about tickets?
Well, look, tickets, basically, you need tickets for the events that we are hosting. So the big concert events, to basically, that's a revenue, or an income for us to pay for the whole event. So they can be got through our website, flackyole.ie, and basically the Art Centre is facilitating the ticketing for all our events there, and we'd like to thank them for that. And you know, we've some major acts coming to town. Martin Hayes and the Common Ground Ensemble is opening the first concert on the Sunday the 31st of July in the Cathedral. So we headline acts like Sharon Shannon, Shafteen Cayley Band, The Shandrum, Damien Milan, MR, Four Winds, Brista, Breaking Trad, the Mulcahy family, Moxie, you know, the list goes on. Gatehouse, I'd say we have probably 65-ish concerts during the week of the FLA, and hopefully people will support them, because that's revenue that we need to get into the bank account to pay for the whole event.
So apart from that, you're going to have a whole programme of free events as well.
There'll be absolutely
the likes of the Skull Aigse going on as well earlier in the day.
Yeah, so, well, look, Skull Aigse basically is a very important part of the week, and that's run by a great man called Kieran Hanrahan, a great banjo player and formerly a musician with Stockton's Wing, and he works for RTE as well. So he works in with School Age, the best of tutors from all over the country. That's a week-long school before running up to the final weekend of the FLA from Monday to Friday. And I would encourage, you know, as many young musicians to book their slot for School Age, because the best of tutors will be in Mullingar showing their skills to all these students. And you can learn a lot by going to School Age and participating in it. It's a great week of tuition, and you know, a lot of youngsters meet new friends when they go to School Age. So I would definitely encourage as many people to sign up to that as possible.
So let's talk about the mechanics of all this, because you're going to have spontaneous events as well. I remember in yes. Tullamore a few years ago, you'd have a session just breaking out on the street. What do the business community need to know and be prepared for?
Well, look, at the end of the day, we've been putting the word out for 6 years now. The flak you're only hearing is coming down. And to be honest, when I read the press sometimes, I get annoyed to see the business people don't understand or haven't been informed of what's going on. They have been well informed of what's going on. And, you know, I just want to put it out there. Have their ears been blocked and their eyes shut for the last couple of years? I don't think so. We're not taking any flack. We've been open and honest about this event, the amount of people that come to it, and to be honest, we've been helping. We've been nothing but helpful to the business people in Mullingar throughout this whole process, and kept them in the loop of what was going on. And, you know, how many times do you have to tell the town that there's going to be 500,000 plus visitors? If I heard that once and I had business people, that number alone should you know, send a message out. And at the end of the day, look, I on the other side,
I'm guessing. Sorry to interrupt, Joe. I'm guessing for yes. some like restaurants, bars,
yes.
it's a boom. It's an opportunity for others.
Absolutely.
It probably means many of their regular customers may not come into town. So it depends which camp you're in.
Yeah, well, look, there'll be nobody refused into town to do their normal shopping. And a lot of the likes of the Dunn stores and the Pennies and the Tescos and the Lidl's and Aldi all are outside the street closure. So people can still come and do their shopping. They can still come into town to the chemist shops, to the hairdressers, because, look, we've provided plenty of car parking space for people to park, and we've a shuttle bus running from their car parks up to the railway station, and they can just walk from there, which is very central to town, into town. So we've all angles covered. And at the end of the day, what I will say to people is, this is an event that comes once only to a town, and they should embrace the whole aspect of the FLA coming for 1 week. This is 1 week that we're asking people to give a dig out, and I know they will. You know, look, no matter what walk of life you're in, there's always little nitty-gritties, and everyone won't agree with what's going on, but the majority will understand. And look, we want people to come and enjoy this event, because this is an event that won't be seen again in the likes of Mullingar for many, many years to come. And look, I plead with the people to just relax, enjoy the event, because it's a huge, successful and a great event that everybody that comes to it enjoys. And that's been the case for the last 70 years when Flakiol were in every town. When they see the event coming and they take part in it and be a part of it, it's all good, you know.
And finally, have you all you need at this stage in terms of volunteers, extra pairs of hands, to be able to deal with the foreseen and unforeseen?
Yes. Ah, yeah. Look, at the end of the day, again, we've been working on this for a long number of years now. You know, the in fairness, the volunteer numbers are increasing day on day. And, you know, there's been very good training done by our volunteer coordinator, Julia Dalton. And, you know, to be honest, I use the word volunteer. We're all volunteers on this committee, and I want to pay a special word of thanks to all our volunteers on our committee who have absolutely gave up their lives for the last 5-6 years at this, because you know, to have, and I sincerely want to thank them, and I've thanked them down through the years, but a special thanks to them for getting this over the line, and we all look forward to it coming now in the next few days.
Joe, thanks very much for taking our call.
Yep. Thanks very much.
Joe Kinnear is the Cathaoirleach of the Fla Ceoil Executive Committee in Mullingar. You'll hear more as we get closer to the 31st for the opening day, and Paddy Duffy and Frank Kelly will be bringing you a special programme from Mullingar on the 31st, and we will be there every single day to keep you up to date with what's happening. Now, after the news at 10, a man who says he has been able to do what the Red Cross couldn't, bring people fleeing the war in Ukraine to Ireland and link them with host families in a timely fashion. More details in the next 10 minutes. Midlands 103. Good morning. Ooh, the big talking point today is the removal by AIB of three ATMs in the Midlands, which sounds, when you put it that way, not like an enormous story, but it's annoyed so many people. If they consider, well, you pull out of a town like Birr, you pull out of a town like Edenderry, Rathdowney, you're not going to have an ATM facility there. Who's next? And it's increasingly just marginalising people who are not internet savvy, prefer cash. There's nothing wrong with preferring cash. You're not a Luddite or backwards or product of the 20th century. You're just somebody who prefers cash. And in fairness, you feel it when you hand over a 20 euro note or a 50 euro note. You don't feel it when you tap your card or your phone. Mossy makes a great point here. Banks, they don't just want you to go cashless. They want you to go cardless. Tap on your phone, tap on your watch. They don't have the printing costs then, and he's right. Will, why don't solicitors stand up for ordinary people? COVID was very handy as an excuse for the big guys to bully everybody into changing their habits. And Hilda makes an interesting point about AIB specifically, that you can, as a foreign person in Ireland, transact your card with AIB. Many Americans, she says, living here and getting Social Security into their Irish accounts. AIB is their preferred choice. It's definitely going to be bad for tourism. And also, she makes the point about data, that health insurers would certainly love to know who's buying alcohol. And if you're making cashless transactions, there's a record. Oh, you know, Will Faulkner, he went into carry out off licence and he bought X, Y and Z. And how often does he go to the off licence? And the health insurers obviously would love that information. And information itself is valuable. And there are companies such as Google and Facebook who are selling information and profiting from it. It is the new oil. Data is the oil of the 21st century. So that's why we want to go cashless. I say that in inverted commas. Now, still to discuss today how the negotiations will fare between farmers and the government on climate change. A 22% reduction in emissions between now and 2030. That's as far as farmers say they can go. But the Green Party wants it to be closer to a 30% reduction in emissions. And Brian Clunan does DIY in around 10 minutes' time. First, let's meet a man who appears to have done what the Irish Red Cross couldn't, which is to bring people from the war in Ukraine to Ireland and link them up with host families in a timely fashion. Colm Smullen from Smullen Couriers in Mullingar. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I know we spoke before, but just remind us what you have been doing, how all this started.
Oh, all this started back pretty much after the start of the war. Thanks to Facebook, we got sucked into helping out, gathering aid and bringing out aid, a couple of van loads out, I think 100 grand worth of medical aid the first time, and then two more load after that. and the second two runs, we stayed out there for 2 weeks each time with my son helping out in a centre near the border, you know. So that's basically where it started, you know.
And so out there, you obviously met people, you became more invested in their stories, in their plight. How did you move into bringing them back to Ireland and linking them up with families?
Basically, on the second run, we met up with a great guy called Joby Redmond from Dublin, who was had been out there from the very start, and he went with his laptop Revolut card and a phone, and he basically sat up at the Irish desk and in a centre, and he basically started paying for the flights for people that couldn't afford to get out and who wanted to get to Ireland. So I joined in with him, and if anyone looked at Nationwide a few weeks ago, they'd seen what we did. We maybe between 400 and 500 people, we got them out, got them flights to Ireland, and you know, at that stage, the whole Irish thing wasn't too bad. You got into the system here and you got into accommodation, it was fine. But so eventually, we were out of money and he came home and that was that. So then I linked in with another lady from Galway called Grace Kennedy, who I never heard of before but had been at it from day one as well. And she from day one to now, she's got in, I think, over a thousand families, and that's the average out of three per family is over 3,000 and something people, you know.
What do you do to make sure that everybody is on the same page? How do you, I suppose, link the families with the people and make sure they can connect well?
Well, this is the way the system's working, and it's not mine. I only got joined into what Grace is doing in the last month or month and a half. What she does is, and has been doing since day one is, thanks to powers of the internet, Facebook, she's getting messages from people on the ground over there that's in bunkers, that's in occupied areas, that's in terrible situations. They're, please help us. Help us get myself and my two little kids or whatever, or my baby, out of a bunker, out of an occupied area on Facebook. And then what she does then is, or we do now, is set up a conference call between herself in the bunker with her kids. Some of them, like, you can hear the bombs going off in the background and lights going out and kids screaming, and you know, so they're in a terrible state. On the conference call as well, you have a host family that's looking to help here in Ireland. You have a translator from Cork, originally from out there, and she translates everything. You have myself, you have Grace, so you have a chat there for 45 minutes or whatever, and basically the host family is getting to know the family they want to come. And does the conditions in wherever the host family is living suit the person that's coming, got to do with schools, doctors, this, that, runner. So in the 45 minutes, you figure out that it's a runner. I think 1% of the time, it might not be a runner. But basically, then you just organise how to get the people out of where they are, out of the bunker, out of whatever, safely, get them to a bus station, get them from the bus station to the border, and then basically from there to Warsaw to get a flight to Ireland.
And once in Ireland, they go, I presume, to City West, get the paperwork done. How long does that take?
Yeah, well, see, our system bypasses the whole... I won't go into the whole reasons why the government system's not working. Everyone, a blind man would know it's not working. They're basically, like, they're filling sinks with water with the stopper in, the draw going overflow eventually. You know, same as Gormantown's going overflow in a few weeks. But our system is you bring them into the airport, Grace goes over to Warsaw, gets them all together in a hotel, gets them sorted. Instead of putting them into the refugee camp in Warsaw where it's 5,000 or 4,000, she'll get them into a hotel, feed them, get them ready for the flights, get them on the flight, go with them on the flight, get them out here in Dublin. Some of these guys, as I said already, don't be on flights, don't have to travel only internally in the country. So, like, some of them have newborn babies, whatever. So you get them on the flight, get them off the flight, then you have volunteer drivers, either myself or, I don't know, it could be a dozen other people that are doing it, bring them from the airport to City West. If it's late at night, they have to wait in City West overnight. If it's not, if it's afternoon, you just go over, do the paperwork, it might take an hour, and you just bring them to their host family, which could be Dingle or Donegal. And basically it's from the bunker to the host family, and it works an absolute treat. It's simple.
Why can't the Red Cross do that?
Well, I'm sure everyone knows bureaucracy is the ruination of everything in the world. So, you know, the Red Cross, and I promise I wouldn't go into this now, but I just touch on it a bit. Red Cross doesn't exist in Ireland. It's a name. It's a load of volunteers, which I've nothing against. They're not getting paid. They're just doing their best. You know, they're like us. So the money, the vast, vast amount of money that came from every person that did collection, cake sales, the Late Late Show, say, little kids that opened up their piggy banks, gave it. That's all gone to some account out wherever. But so if nothing against Red Cross on the ground, it's Red Cross organisation, the money's gone.
I'm sure we'll have to get a response from the Irish Red Cross as to how the money has been spent, but they would probably argue, well, accommodation has to be checked. They have to make sure there are services in the area for these people, that they're not just left out in the sticks and no transport and so on and so forth.
Like, we're doing that. We're checking out where people are, how many kilometres it is to the nearest. We're checking out all that. We're doing all that. And we're not doing it over weeks and months. We're doing it for, you know, a phone call or two. You know, we'd have a group, actually. It wouldn't be just one conference call. It could be, you know, it could be three or four conference calls, and in that group is lit up there, is actually live throughout the whole journey of that person. So if there's any questions, the five people involved in the group, or six, is constantly there for answers all day, all night. So by the time the family get from Ukraine to the family in Ireland, they've been chatting. Like, we just leave them alone sometimes. The host family is chatting online to the family. You know, we need checking out schools, getting uniforms ready. It's all getting to get there. They're just walking in somewhere that's, you know, they're familiar with. You know.
Well, if anybody wants to help Colm, what's the best way to get involved?
Yeah, well, what I'm on today now is just, I'm trying to, get out there that, you know, the system that's there is not working. It's not going to work. It's never going to work. There's houses being turned down by the local councils, by engineers, because they're dirty. There's houses being turned down because their accommodation is on farms. Like, it's farcical what's going on. If people can trust us, and come with us, go with our ideas. Not just us, there's other organisations doing the same around the country. I can't think of their names now, but there is, like, Facebook is lit up with people that's doing the same as us. So it's not just us. So if we can get word out that, you know what I mean, if they want examples, we can give them examples of where it's working. If they're worried about the 400 quid, if they can't afford to take somebody in, they need the 400 quid, we can give them the 400 quid for the first few weeks until the government comes up and pays what they're promising to pay. So we can pay the 400 for a few weeks. Another thing is, if people have houses that they have they want to help, but they're trying to rent a house, they have been trying to rent a house out to private people in Ireland, but if the rent is cheap enough, we've got houses where people in Donegal were looking for 800 quid a month. We've got two families from Ukraine on a conference call, got them chatting, got them to know, would you like to live together? So the two families did move into the house. We paid the first month's rent to get them going. And in the second month in, they only pay €100 per family per week, and they have a lovely house in Donegal. So there's a couple of ways of doing it. So we just need people to trust us. If you want examples, come to us. We'll show you how it works. Don't be waiting for the Red Cross or IPAS or the local council or whoever's meant to be sorting it, because it's not going to happen. People are ringing us every day. We pledged for houses months ago. We've heard nothing back. Please, can we get someone? Within a week, we have someone in our house. That guy that had the ones in the farm, and the apartments in the farm, he was sorted in a couple of days or week with families. So don't be waiting. If you want 400, we'll sort that. But just come forward, because people that did ring into the Red Cross have been told, because we only have 8 people sorting the whole country, it could be November or October, November before you have someone in your house. That's ridiculous.
Colm, I suppose, look, creative solutions in times like this are always useful. Thanks very much for the call.
Yeah, but that's my argument. Sorry, just finishing this. My argument is, this is a war. People need to stop saying, we want to go by the book, we want to do all the paperwork. They need to step outside of that. It's a war. It's not just someone coming here looking for a place to stay. It's a war. Do you know?
Thanks, Colm. We'll talk again.
And sorry, very last thing. If anyone wants to help us out, we do need help financially wise at this stage. We just need it, because donations have dried up. Everyone I know have given so much. But if anyone knows anyone, a company, a business, who wants to come on board and help us keep this thing going, we'll be very happy, you know.
You're based in Mullingar, Smullen Couriers.
Mullingar, yeah. Smullen
Thanks.
Couriers. And if someone wants to help, it's the main GoFundMe page is Grace Kennedy Journey to Ireland. And if you look up Grace Kennedy, you'll see the whole story from her start of it 4 months ago.
Colm, you're getting value for your time. Thanks very much.
I know, I always do.
Good man. Colm Smullen from Smullen Couriers in Mullingar. Now, the Irish Red Cross, by the way, has collected €30 million in donations, and they say they have sent 5.2 million to Red Cross branches in the conflict zone so that they can purchase basic supplies, medicine, water, food, tents and so on. They are holding back about half of the €30 million that's been donated to help rebuild people's lives whenever the war in Ukraine ends. And they are then spending about €2 to €3 million for helping refugees on arrival in Ireland. They've been buying €100 vouchers for Don stores for pennies so people can buy hygiene products, clothes, things of that nature. So that's what the Red Cross says it is doing.